Remind you ladies of ladies class, the regular weekly class on Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock are beginning a study of angels. So everything you ever wanted to know about angels, you can learn in that class. And then this week, this Tuesday night, the monthly class will be meeting and they're looking at a video series on seeking spiritual beauty. And that'll be at 6:30 to 8 and 7 o'clock for the lesson. So I encourage you ladies to go to those and gain from that material that's being presented. You know, as we think about parenting, and especially as fathers, it's not an easy task. And so maybe this is a good subject for fathers on Father's Day. It's not an easy task. When we think of Job, we think of Job's patience and his suffering. And so both of those are needed and come along with parenting. We have to be patient through the suffering that we have. But there's so much joy in parenting, despite the problems that we may have and the difficulties that we may have. But it's especially difficult when we don't understand parenting. You know, it's amazing that we have gone so long in our society without teaching our young people anything about parenting. Do you ever have a course on parenting going to school? Any of you? Let's see your hand if you had a course on parenting. Okay. It's just something that we're not taught, and we expect people to have children and just automatically know how to raise them. But it's not that easy. Sometimes we're puzzled about what's wrong with children today, but perhaps we need to ask what's wrong with parents today, because it's the parents' responsibility to raise their children. The last time I checked, a child is a product of the parent and not vice versa. And so it's our responsibility to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So this morning we want to look at a father who set an example for fathers everywhere. We might not think of this particular with Job, but he knew the importance of being spiritually connected to God. And buying brand name clothes and video games and putting money in kids' pocket won't get them an escort to heaven. However, if we as fathers stay in a solid relationship with God, we'll do our best to make sure they get there also. And so Job was a father that every father should be willing to follow. And we want to look at three different areas of Job's life this morning as we consider that. First of all, his disposition. Verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Was Job perfect? No. And there's no such thing as a perfect parent. I'll guarantee you, we all make mistakes as parents. I can look back in my life and see a lot of mistakes I made in my parenting. And somehow we need to just transpose all that and allow the grandparents to raise their grandkids, because we've learned from our mistakes. And so he was blameless and upright. There was nothing outstanding about Job. Job was willing to recognize his shortcomings and repent of them. And that's what makes us blameless. But he was trying to please God. He feared God and he shunned evil. He tried to stay away from evil, keep evil at a distance from him. And so that's what we need to have. That's the disposition that we need to have also. The saying is, fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So if Job is a righteous man, his children hopefully will be righteous. Like father, like son, we say. And so similarly there. So some of the characteristics of a good father are the fear of God, we mentioned. And Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So fearing God is where wisdom begins. And that's what makes us smart in knowing how to handle the knowledge that we have. And that's what wisdom is. Honor, respect, and awe. Terror, as Paul put it, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And so having that great fear of God and respect for his power and what he can do. So what does it mean to fear God? Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Some people said, oh, I don't like the Bible because it teaches fear. Yes, it teaches fear. It is fear many times that brings us to God. But many times fear won't keep us there because we'll start making all sorts of excuses. But love for God and appreciation for what he's done for us is what will keep us there. And understanding the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us. So the characteristics of a good father are fear of God, the beginning of wisdom we mentioned. Also, staying away from evil. To try to distance ourselves from the evil that might corrupt us. Proverbs 14:6 says, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. He thinks, well, I can handle all this. I remember when I had my first real job in Memphis, Tennessee, I was staying in a boarding house. And I remember hearing my landlady screaming out. And I ran in there and her son had a telephone up about to hit her. And so I grabbed him and stopped him. And I was telling one of my coworkers about it. He said, boy, you need to get out of there. You don't need to be in a place like that. And I said, oh, I can handle it. You know, that's confidence in the face of evil. But we need to realize there are times we need to get away from evil. Sometimes we can't handle it. And we don't need to play around with evil. And so a wise man fears and departs from evil. Psalm 34, verses 11 through 6. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And so we need to depart from evil, stay away from evil. Even those things that may appear to be evil, we need to stay away from. And that's what the New Testament tells us, abstain from every appearance of evil. And so we need to stay so far away from it that even if something just looks bad, we don't need to do it. You know, I could walk in here with a whiskey bottle and I say, well, it's just filled with Coke. Nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't look very good for me, would it? Stand up here drinking from a whiskey bottle and say, oh, it's just Coke. Well, it doesn't look very good. And so we need to abstain from the appearance of evil even. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22 is where that scripture comes from. Test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Stay away from every type of evil. And even if it just appears to be evil, we need to stay away from it. We need to be the greatest example that our children and all mankind can see by obeying God's commands and keeping ourselves unspotted from this evil and perverted world. And so it's so important for us to have that disposition that Job had. There are occasions when they still won't act right. But like Job, fathers, we must continue with God. And so even though Job thought his sons and his children might have sinned, it didn't cause him to be carried away with that. he remained faithful to God. And young folks, you need to realize there is a payday for sin, and it's death, physically and spiritually. You may get through this life and not die physically as a result of your sin, but I'll guarantee you will not get through eternity without paying for your sin. Parents' hearts will break at the knowledge of their children being overtaken by sin, but we must stand with God and be faithful to Him regardless. And our understanding of God doesn't change because our children sin. I think last week or so I mentioned elders who wanted the preacher to quit talking about divorce and remarriage because their child had just been divorced and remarried unscripturally. So they didn't want the preacher to talk about that. No, our beliefs don't change because our children sin. And we had to recognize, yes, it's sin. I've thought many times about what I would do in various situations if my son or our son got off into some deep, terrible sin. I would love him, but I could not condone what he was doing. My view of sin cannot change because of what my children are doing. And Job was like that. And then the second area we want to look at is not only his disposition, but his attitude, verses 4 through 6. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. This is, of course, in the patriarchal days when God dealt with people through the heads of their household. And Job was the head of his household, even though his children were adults and away from his household, he was still responsible for them. And he would offer sacrifices for them as a priest under the law would. But this is the patriarchal period before the law came. And so he was doing what evidently God had told him to do as a father, grandfather of his children and grandchildren. He would offer sacrifices for them. "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." And we're going to look at some things about that specifically and why he might have thought they might have sinned and cursed God. Did he not know them well enough to know whether or not they would do that or not? What was going on with Job that he thought that might have happened? And we'll look at that in a moment. His children may have participated in activities that were sinful in nature. And so Job would send for them and sanctify them, make them pure again through that sacrifice. He offered burnt offerings for their sin. And it might be, he says, that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So Job's attitude was, if you mess up, I'll do what I can to help you clean it up. Don't we do that with our children? You make mistakes, and I'll do what I can to help you get back right, on the right track. I won't pretend that I know what you're struggling with. Our young people struggle with things. My children struggle with things I never had to struggle with. Your children are having to struggle with things you never had to struggle with. And the availability of sin and evil that they can get off into as a result of the internet and such is astounding sometimes. And his attitude was, I will not support your wrongdoing, but I'll do what I can to help you clean up the mess you've created and get back under the grace of God. That's ultimately what we want for our children, to be saved eternally. That's the most important thing in this world. Sadly, it's not until later on in life that we realize that sometimes. Oh, we concentrate on their schoolwork. We want them to get through school, make good grades, and be able to get a good job. And sometimes we put a whole lot more emphasis on that than we do their spiritual life. I've known parents who would ground their children from church activities, such as youth meetings and such. They would ground them from that, but they let them go to the ball games at school. Something's wrong with that picture, isn't there? We need to realize that eternity is what's most important. Yes, we may want them to succeed and do well in this life and have a good, happy, fulfilled life on this earth, and God does too. But he wants us to put him first. As Pete talked about in his class this morning, that was one of the problems with the kings. They kept trying to solve the problems themselves and forget about God and not go to him for the help that they needed to get their lives straightened back up. We look at the prodigal son. The father was waiting and longing for his son to return, Luke 15, 11 through 32. And the son had left, taken all of his inheritance with him, wasted it all in riotous living. And it says, when he was a long way off, the father saw him. You know, you wouldn't have seen him a long way off if you weren't looking for him. Every day, I can imagine that father looking down that road and hoping to see his son coming back. But many times, they don't. But that father was longing for that. Job was longing for his children to be right in the sight of God. And God is longing for us to get our lives back right with him. Never support the wrong that your children do. We notice that Job didn't seem to drink with his children. Job 1:13 says, now there was a day when his sons and their daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Why wasn't Job invited? Maybe he was. We're not told. But he didn't seem to participate in these parties that they were having. Job 1:18, while he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Why wasn't Job there? Again, we're not told. But it points out to us that Job sacrificed for his children in case they may have done something, in case they may have cursed God. Why would his children curse God? Why would they sin? Well, the problem is many times alcohol releases our inhibitions. Alcohol causes us to do things that we would not normally do, and that's the problem with it. One of the best examples of this we see in Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. And this is one of the problems with alcohol. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of the eyes? Seen that in people? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Want something stronger. Something to give them more of a buzz. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly, when it's fermenting. By the way, wine in the scriptures can mean grape juice or fermented wine. Both are referred to as wine. You have to look at the context to determine which one is being referred to. As a side note, National Geographic some years ago ran an article. This is back when they were saying, oh, wine's good for your heart. Drink a little wine, it's good for your heart. Now, if you've noticed, reports are saying one drink of alcohol is harmful to your body. And that's what they said when Clara went to school at Harding University. She learned that for every molecule of alcohol that gets to your brain, it destroys your brain cell. Well, we've got millions of brain cells, but you can have lots of molecules of alcohol in there too, if you drink a lot. And so National Geographic ran an article back when they were saying, drink a little wine for your heart's sake. And they said, grape juice will do the same thing for your heart. But they didn't say that because that was advertisements coming from wine companies. They didn't want you to know that grape juice would do the same thing for your heart. So that wasn't on the page. But we get the same benefits from grape juice. When it sparkles, when it swirls around smoothly, when it's fermenting, in other words, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. You know, I see double. You know, there are two of you. Why is that? You're drunk. And your heart will utter perverse things. See, Job's children were eating and drinking, and their hearts may have uttered perverse things, things that were contrary to the will of God. And they may have sinned in cursing God in doing that. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or the one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink?" And so it's very likely, it doesn't say that in the text, that that's what was going on with Job. He wasn't eating and drinking with his kids because it was a party and they were probably drinking too much. And so that's the reason he offered sacrifices, in case they had sinned against God and cursed him because of the influence of alcohol. They should have known better. But alcohol releases the inhibitions, and it causes you to do things that you would not normally do. And so it's possible that's what was happening there. And then the third thing about Job we want to see is that he was dedicated. The end of verse 5 says, "Thus Job did regularly." He didn't just do it one time. He did it regularly. Anytime they had a party, he made those sacrifices for them. He wanted them to be right. These were grown children with homes of their own. And yet, he is still concerned about his children, still wanting to get them right with God. Job never gave up on his disposition nor his attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." I'm sure that we all, as parents, pray for our children, and especially if we think that they might not be in a right relationship with God. We continually pray for them. We should never give up on our children. Ephesians 6:1-4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." I'm sure because of what we're told about Job, that's what he was trying to do. But he knew that children have a mind of their own, especially once they become adults and they may not want to follow what we've taught them. And so he was continually doing things to try to get them back in the right relationship with God. And that should be our desire also. So fathers, follow Job's example as a father in your disposition, your attitude, and your dedication. Dad, do the right thing with your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and do everything you can to keep them in a right relationship with God. We all have that opportunity to have a right relationship with God. Jesus went to that cross to take care of our sins. We don't have to make those sacrifices that Job made on a regular basis. All we have to do is to recognize that Jesus went to that cross for us and be willing to repent of our sins, confess him as the Son of God, and be buried with him in baptism to wash away all of our past sins. And if we're willing to do that, then we can be children of God and have that home reserved in heaven for us if we live faithfully for him. So God has made it possible for us to be right in his sight, regardless of our sin. And we need to make sure that we're falling under the protection of the blood of Jesus. If you're a Christian, you fail to live as you know you should, and you haven't done those things you know God expects of you as a child of God, You need to repent, confess that, and rededicate yourself to living more for Him in the future than you have in the past. Is there any way we can help you in your relationship with God at this time? We invite you to come as we stand together and sing.